Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking you to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you are sure to find our Quest Moment, where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So I thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, this morning, this week's program is packed with great information, starting with our very own student hosts, Walter Pierce and Justin Hill. They both will produce segments of Diamonds and Definitions that will feature James Baldwin and Irvin Magic Johnson. Our emphasis on financial literacy continues with the definition of how managing debt and insurance are important. And we top our broadcast with Curtains with Carlos Santana, which you've just heard. The program will also include comments from the elders during and after each segment. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to invite our first student host up, Walter Pierce. Walter, good morning.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Now, to continue on with my first segment of today, I want to go into diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, again, my diamond segment for this week is on James Baldwin. And see, Baldwin's impassionate plea to end racial nightmare in America galvanized the nation and gave a voice to the emerging civil rights movement. He became actively involved in the Congress of Racial Equality, CORE, and gave numerous lectures for them across the American South. In May of 1963, Baldwin, the civil rights activist, appeared on the cover of Time magazine. Baldwin was a complex character and never fully accepted by some activists. More articulate and less of a firebrand than many other prominent African-American speakers on the circuit, some viewed Baldwin as too moderate and too keen to accommodate white America, apologetic for this, believing that the movement was only going to be successful when it won the support of many white people. Despite never fully being embraced by the civil rights movement, he was still very much affected by the death of his leaders and returned to Europe in frustration and sadness. While James Baldwin struggled for acceptance in a racially divided America, he was able to give a voice to the issues that plagued the country in a way few others were able to do. And again, to just expand on that segment, you know, somebody like James Baldwin is a good example of how there were a lot of different civil rights leaders who thought the same and wanted to go about solving racial issues differently. Somebody like Malcolm X wanted everybody to separate. He wanted the white people and the black people to separate into their own communities and solve their issues first before they even come together and integrate. But you have somebody like James Baldwin who was completely different, who believes the only way to solve this is due to the help of white America. And he has to have white America buy in to the racial issues that we're trying to solve. So, again, James Baldwin was not liked by, again, some civil rights leaders. Okay, he was unapologetic, and he still made some of the greatest books about racial issues probably of all time. So, again, that concludes my segment on James Baldwin. I hope you continue to do research and read one of James Baldwin's books because he has made a lot of great work. And that concludes my segment on diamonds. You're tuned into 89.5 WSLU, and this is student host Walter Pierce. We'll be right back.
want to come back soon to Quest Community Vibrations. And first of all, I want to say great job by Walter Pierce, our student host. And I want to bring in Tamir Davis. Mr. Davis, good morning, and how are you?
I'm great. I'm great, and I'm thankful that I'm on the show. I love Mr. Walter Pierce's analogy or soliloquy of James Baldwin. James Baldwin, you cannot get a better civil rights activist who was able to bring the collective of different cultures and different people coming together during the civil rights movement. During the 60s, there were 60s and 50s, it was a different world in terms of the acceptance of sexual preference and what have you. That's why there was a need for the Me Too movement and what have you. But in terms of being able to articulate the reality of social discrimination in view of the engineered racism that exists, the social engineered racism that exists in America, and its impact in America, so much so that he had to leave the country and seek refuge elsewhere. But there was no more articulate writer in terms of bringing together the titles of his books, what he wrote about, and how he articulated the impact, the social impact of what was taking place in terms of race relations in this country was phenomenal. His influence of writers such as Nikki Giovanni, his influence on writers, literary writers like Toni Morrison, that influence is so much so that it's trickling down to future generations. I would say that James Baldwin was one of the most articulate orators in terms of race relations in this country. And he was perhaps one of the most dangerous people that was able to articulate. And then the other thing is his tone, the rhythm of his speech was so profound, so profound. I would argue that people need to see, if you haven't, take a look at I'm Not Your Negro. I'm Not Your Negro. Very, very complex and also a firm person who was actually able to change the social dynamics and have people to begin to look at race relations from a different perspective. Thank you.
No, I want to thank you. And Walter, would you like to jump in and add or just have something to say up the Black Librarian's comment?
No, I just want, thank you, because that added on to, the amount of impact and change he was trying to add during the civil rights movement, and really just, again, show who the person he actually was and how different he was. Well,
and I would say this, he wasn't just respected by African Americans in America. James Baldwin, revolutionary fighters, cultural revolutionaries all over the world respected James Baldwin, the honorary James Baldwin.
Okay. Walter, we can both see the Black Librarian didn't leave room for anybody there, right? But we want to thank you so much, Mr. Davis, and he'll be back. And we have more panelists to add in. But before we do, we're going to go back to the music. And when we return, Justin Hill is going to educate us about his definition segment. All right. And we're back. And, you know, Walter, it used to be a time when you were the youngest person in the room. But that time is done. And now we have the youngest in the room with us to present his segment of Diamonds. And I want to say good morning, Justin. And before you begin, Walter, I want to give you a chance to give Justin a shout-out.
Coming up with their Diamond segment, it is the youngest in the room again, Mr. Justin Hill.
Take it away, Justin.
Okay. So today my Diamond segment will be Magic Johnson. His story is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into this diamond and see your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Magic Johnson's real name is Irvin Magic Johnson Jr. He was born on August 14, 1959, and he is 62 years old. And during his basketball career, he played for the Los Angeles Lakers, and his jersey number was 32. Also, he is an American former professional basketball player and former president of basketball operations of the Los Angeles Lakers of the National Basketball Association, often regarded as the best point guard of all time. Johnson played 13 game seasons for the Lakers and was honored as one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history. The Magic Johnson Foundation, founded by Magic Johnson in 1991, the same year Magic Johnson retired. He works to develop programs and support community-based organizations. So today for my segment, I picked Magic Johnson because he was a great basketball player and he did a lot to help the community. And that concludes my segment on Magic Johnson. Thank you.
Okay. That was pretty good, Justin. You know, I know that everybody on the panel is impressed. I know I am. But you know what? We're going to go to Mr. Harris for some comments because he's one of the only ones that I know that's on this line right now that is indeed an L.A. fan. So good morning, Mr. Harris. What do you have to say about Justin's segment and Magic Johnson?
First, I'd like to say great pick for your diamond, and L.A. all the way. And I really like Magic Johnson because, you know, being a Laker fan from the beginning, you know, he brought in a new era to basketball after we had kind of lost a couple of championships and for, like, years. We haven't won anything since, like, Wilt Chamberlain was there before Magic came back. And if anybody knows who Will Chamberlain is, you know how far back I'm going. You know, but he's a great brother, and he's really a person that really shows that you can start out in a particular position, move on, and then become great in another area. Because Justin was talking about his entrepreneurial expertise. Those Magic Johnson movie theaters were all over in mainly black communities, you know, where he was, like, getting jobs and stuff for other people in the community so that they could move towards fulfilling whatever goals they had. He was instrumental in doing a lot of that and still is. You know, he made more money since he left basketball than he did when he was in basketball. And I think he's a real great role model for other people in the community that have the position to do something and actually do something with it. It's like Magic.
Well, we thank you so much for your input and your comment. Right now, we're going to continue on with music, that is, by Carlos Santana. just another example of Quest Community Vibrations and its brilliance. And we are awesome. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio, but without me blowing any more horns or wagging my tail, I want to turn it back over to our student host, Walter Pierce. Good morning again, Walter.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Quest Youth Radio. To get into my second segment of today, I would like to get into definitions. And see, definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we could achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for this week is insurance. And weekly on the show, we're going to try to include some form of financial literacy into our segments. And what I have been doing is including financial literacy into my definition segment. So for this week, the financial literacy term is insurance. And see, insurance is a contract represented by a policy in which an individual or entity receives a financial protection or reimbursement against losses from an insurance company. The company pools clients' risk to make payments more affordable for the insured. Insurance policies are used to hedge against the risk of financial losses, both big and small, that may result from damage to the insured or her property, or the liability for damage or injury caused to a third party. So, of course, insurance is it's important and it's a need for people because, especially in our time, a lot of different companies either require insurance or you need insurance if you want some help financially, because there is people out there who didn't have insurance, who fell victim to high medical bills, high costs for anything that they needed to pay. And because they didn't have insurance, they couldn't pay it off. So now they're in this bad situation where they could lose a lot. They could go bankrupt, anything. So this is why insurance is really important, to avoid that, to get help financially so you could help pay off things that you need to, which the main thing is medical insurance, which should be number one, you know. And a couple terms to add on to that would be, you know, a premium. And basically a premium is just the price, which is like expressed as a monthly cost. The premium is determined by the insurer based on your and your business risk profile, which may include credit worthiness. So also there is a deductible, and the deductible is a specific amount of the policyholder must pay out of pocket before the insurer pays the claim. So before your insurer even pays for your claim, you'll have to put some money down for the thing you have to pay for. And yeah, just to really conclude my part on this, insurance is a need for a lot of people. And again, for the younger people out there, make sure that you get that. Make sure you look into life insurance, even though life insurance is something that could be difficult to look for and find the perfect fit. Still try your hardest to find the perfect one, because that will come in very handy, medical insurance. And to perfectly transition, business insurance. I know, you know, Mr. Bay here, you're a business owner, so you probably know about insurance and need it for the business that you run. So I want to pass it on to you for, you know, any further comments on insurance and how it is important to your life.
Okay. Well, I'll take that pass. First of all, in business, you do want to be insured in the event that someone tries to sue you, just to put it bluntly. A lot of people, a small insurance, having an LLC is a small tidbit of insurance. But it is not complete because when in business, depending on the product or service, determines the amount or what type of insurance that you might want to hold. You know, in my case, it would be advised, it would be smart for me to have insurance for the equipment that I've invested in the event that a storm happens, ruins the equipment, or anything else, a loss of equipment. But I do want to say, overall, insurance is basically about protecting the loss of any kind. And so this is what makes it important whether or not you have a business. Now, I want to bring in Tanisha Garner, right? Good morning to you, first of all, and let me get your mic on, right? And let me try this again. Good morning, Tanisha. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm good.
Okay, so we've gone through three segments so far, and I need to say to everyone, Tamir Davis had to exit a little early. However, we have Tanisha right now on the line. And what is your input about James Baldwin, insurance, Magic Johnson? Go for it, and we're listening.
What I could definitely say about insurance and service is very important, especially in the days and times that we're living in. Unfortunately, I know if you live like in a flood zone or I guess like a highly, as they say, God's nature, that you might not get as much reimbursement back, but I think that needs to be fought for because the things that's going on within our own climate. But especially renter's insurance is very important. God forbid if it's a fire, that you be able to replace, you know, your property and also have somewhere to stay if you have to pay for a hotel. So that's definitely very important, you know, versus someone staying in the shelter. So that's, and like you just mentioned about business, God forbid, you say if someone robs you or if it's a fire that deals with the business, you'll be able to get reimbursed. So insurance is very important, and especially life insurance. I know, you know, they also talks about like million-dollar policies, and then that's very important because you can set your family up after you pass away and also teach them financial literacy, which would be very important. So when they do receive that money after you pass away, they know what to do with it and to be able to stay on float after it happens. And I guess what I want to say about James Baldwin is very important, especially as advocacy now, especially dealing in the 1920s to now, we're dealing with the same issues, especially in the current times, dealing with Terrell Holmes, which is going to be demolished and rebuilt. And it's crazy because it's like when you look at Newark Housing Authority, why is there so much demolition going on and why wasn't these buildings preserved? So when I think about James Baldwin, it thinks about how can we fight for our people and make them aware of what they are worth, and they have to continue to fight. Because sometimes I believe like in our generation is totally different because people don't know how to fight anymore versus, you know, in the past where I guess where it was like up front where you see the pain was at versus now because it's like kind of like subliminal. But it's still racism, and it's still very high cost. And it's like, what do we do to preserve housing? Because housing is very important, and that's the big fight right now, especially in the city of Newark, especially throughout the whole country when it comes to gentrification and the rising of the high rents. So how do we take from what we learned from our ancestors and apply it to now to keep the fight going and to make sure that everyone does have a decent place to live and to be the best human being they can be?
Okay. You definitely threw a lot at us. And let me just respond to you by saying that some of the housing that is being demolitioned in the city of Newark, those particular affordable housing units were not handicap accessible. And according to the federal government, affordable housing has to be handicapped accessible. And so to actually install the handicap facilities in those existing buildings would cost more than actually tearing them down and building up new structures that will definitely include handicap accessibility. Now, that doesn't answer all of your questions, but agitate, and continue the struggle to fight. And when we return after this next song by Mos Def, titled Mos Def Thieves, Mos Def and Definitions, we're going to come back with Justin, and he's going to give us his definition for the week. And I think his is very important. Like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, this show is power-packed with great information that everyone needs to hear. And I'm going to call upon our student host, Walter Pierce, to introduce Justin right after this.
Came to rock it on to the tip top, and high tech make the beat drop.
Redefinition, turning your play into a tragedy. Exhibit level degree on the mic, passionately. This is sweet, so I bet if I bid, I get a cavity. Living to get high, you ain't fired in gravity. We die hard like the battery, thrown in the back of me by the mad MC. Think imitation's the highest form of flattery. Actually, don't be mad at me, I had to be the one to break it to you. You be kicked into obscurity like judo. No menudo, cause you pseudo. Trying to compete for reality like Xerox. Towards destruction, you're spiraling like hairlocks. Wipe some teardrops, change the stars in your eyes. Playing games with your lives. Not otherwise as widows, soaking up pillows, weeping like willows. Still no black is dying, cause they living, they trying. How to make a slave by Willie Lynch, it's still applying. Regardless, the most is one of my closest partners. Rocking ever since before Prince was called the artist. Rocking before, fuck Master Flex was rocking starter. When Pac and Biggie was still cool before they was martyrs. Life or death if I'm choosing, with every breath I'm enhancing. Stop, there comes a time when you can't run.
Lyrically handsome, go collect the king's ransom. Gems I write soon become the ghetto anthem. Play out like Bruce Wayne's mansion. Move like a phantom. You talk about me to your grandson. Cats who claiming they hard be mad. So I run through them like blood water through sandbags. Competition is mad. What I got, they can't have. Sick of they shit like Moby Dick, they ain't half. To the way past the minimum. Interim millennium. Harass the holy gas in your back like Palestinians. Ancient Abyssinian. Charlotte Horn and Gideon. Official B-boy gentleman. Long term never the interim. Born inside the winter wind. They at the dissimulation. These simpletons they mentioning is synonym for feminine. Sweeter than some cinnamon. The Danish rings my instrument. Rush up on adrenaline. They get their sent to them.
Gentlemen.
We got a sentiment, what an assembly. Leave your unit trembling like herds of moving elephant. Intelligent embellishment. Follow for your element from Flatbush settlement. Skin possesses melanin. Hotter than tails of crack peddling. Making them like blue gelatin. Swing like Duke Ellington. Rooted in Byron Sim. Leave me, believe me. The hotter patch of red who burnt down your cheap teepee. You see me?
Three, most deaf and silent quality. We came to rock it on to the tip.
Back. I want to hand it over to Walter Pierce, and then Justin, you'll take it away.
Yes, and coming up with our next definition segment of today is going to be presented by no other than Mr. Justin Hill.
Thank you, Walter. So for today, my segment will be on managing debt. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define extents and not have it defined for us. A debt management plan is an agreement between a debtor and a creditor that addresses the terms of an outstanding debt. This commonly refers to a personal finance process of individuals addressing high consumer debt. Debt management plans help reduce outstanding unsecured debts over time to help the debtor regain control of finances. The process can secure a lower overall interest rate, longer repayment terms, or an overall reduction in the debt itself. DMPs for consumers are often negotiated by a credit counseling agency on behalf of the debtor. Credit counseling agencies often address the debt by working with the debtor to set a budget based on their regular income and expenditures that will then include one regular bill payment that is allocated across the creditor. And that concludes my segment on today of Diamonds. Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you for your in-depth and detailed debt-free debt management segment, helping to continue to evolve on the education and importance of financial literacy. I'd like to slide it over again to Walter Pierce. And Walter, what did you think about Justin's segment?
Yeah, managing debt is something that is really important. And again, going back to my segment, it really connects if you think about it, because if you talk about insurance and how you're trying to avoid debt, insurance is one of the key things to manage debt and not get into that. So really just making sure you have a plan and having a budget and making sure you spend your money wisely, making sure you spend your money on your first before you want. It's going to help you manage debt and manage your money better.
Okay. Thank you for that input. And right now, without wasting any more time, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, and more specifically and important, adults, I want you to look and find the child inside yourself. And I want to remind you that we are, all of us, never too old to still learn. And it's time, yes, indeed, for another Aesop fable. Now, this particular fable is titled The Frog and the Well. And for everybody on the line, on the panel, I'm going to tell you the answer to this one. But at the end, I would really like for you to interpret this in regular language and give us an example of why this particular fable is important. The frog and the well. Two frogs lived together in a marsh, but one hot summer the marsh dried up and they left it to look for another place to live in. For frogs like damp places if they can get them, By and by, they came to a deep well, and one of them looked down into it and said to the other, "This looks like a nice, cool place. Let's jump in and settle in here." But the other, who had a wiser head on his shoulders, replied, "Not so fast, my friend. Supposing this well dried up like the marsh, how should we get out again?" And that's the end. And the message again, look before you leap. Now, so I'm going to go straight to Mr. Harris. Look before you leap. I hear you laughing over there. Give us a real example, real life example of look before you leap, the lesson for today.
Real life example. All right. So if a person is dealing with financial debt, you know, and then you get these little scammers who say, yeah, well, we'll let you hold this little weekly payout things that they have. I don't know if they have them too much around here, but in the South, those like weekly payouts, you know, we'll lend you some money and then you just pay us back when you get paid. And a lot of times if there's ever an issue for the little bit that you're going to get from them, you have to pay them back like 3-4 times the amount, which puts you in further debt, which makes you have to deal with them on other areas instead of considering in the beginning before you create whatever financial problem that you're having. You know, try to figure out other ways instead of trying to look for the easy way, because those money sharks and stuff are out here and you're just easy prey for them. So this is when you have to check other things before you jump into what seems to be easy. So that's one of my examples for look before you leap.
Okay. Be careful about those payday loans. They can rip you off and you scam and charge you more interest on your money, and you took it where it needs to go. But as we continue, Tanisha, look before you leap, a real-life example.
Oh, okay. Mr. Harris gave a really good example. So I guess look before you leap. I guess pay attention to everything that you're doing. And I guess I would say look at the whole picture and just don't look at half, because sometimes in life we don't think everything through. And that's what I would say.
Okay. I'll go with that. Walter? What do you have to say about the fable and the lesson and a real-life example, if you have one?
You're all using money examples, so why not I use one? You know, just there might be things out there and ways to call get-rich-quick schemes and trying to get money back, say, schemes and ways. And you might think it's legit, but again, look before you leap. Make sure you look into what are you actually getting yourself into. Make sure you look at all the requirements, all the things you have to do, all the fine print, everything, before you jump into whatever it is they're trying to get you to do.
Okay. You know, in most cases, because I have to add my two cents as well, in most cases, if it sounds too good to be true, ladies and gentlemen, it's probably not true. Now, one of the things that we all have to contend with is a need for money, okay? And we find ourselves sometimes being a little too anxious, like the other frog who wanted to jump right in. And first of all, you have to prioritize your needs, and no one needs to be ripped off or scammed. So if it sounds too good to be true, in most cases, it is not true. And there is no one coming to save you. There's no one that's going to just give you money and things are going to be all right. There are just so many scams out here nowadays. That you really have to be protective and be about your wit. And one of the most important things that I can say, again, is nobody's giving you anything. And stop wanting so desperately to be saved. I think that is a key ingredient in this particular fable, right? Wanting to be what you need so intensely to where you take an offer that's too good to refuse, and sometimes you need to refuse the offer because if it sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't. And so, that being said, it's time for us to musically continue, right? And it's time for our next segment. But before we do go into our next segment, I'm going to hit you with some Carlos Santana. And don't you go any place, because Walter is going to give you the in-depth look on who Carlos Santana is on the other side of this song. right. And now it is time for our segment of Curtains, which is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtains of the stage. You see, many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community. But what benefits has the community gained from the artists? Curtains is a review of the musical growth and history, the impact of the particular style and genius on the general moods and attitudes of the listening audience. Yeah, that's you. Musical and lyrical and consciousness, social consciousness, that is, as presented by the artist over a period of time between musical releases. And Curtains, ladies and gentlemen, serves best as an introduction to and an exploration of a particular artist and this morning, his genius and involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world today. Walter, I hand it over to you.
Thank you. And, you know, again, let's just think about that segment, the current intro for a bit, talking about, you know, off the stage and what has the artist done for the community and their impact away from the stage. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about today with Carlos Santana. And I'm going to talk about a foundation he actually owns, which is called the Milagro Foundation. And see, the mission of Carlos Santana's Milagros Foundation is to fund organizations that support under-resourced children in the areas of the arts, education, and health. They say that we remain strongly committed to valuing diversity, equity, and inclusivity. We stand in solidarity and show up for our Black, Asian, Latinx, and Native American communities by making grants that directly address the systematic problems around access to family, health services, educational equity, and social justice. As a foundation that supports local, national, and international nonprofits, again, the organization says that we commit to ongoing listening and learning. By listening, learning, acting, the Milagros Foundation hopes to create meaningful differences in the lives of children. As Maya Angelou wisely said, do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. And again, a little bit background of how it started. You know, the Milagros Foundation is a publicly supported foundation established by Carlos Santana and his family in 1998. Milagros benefits under-resourced children around the world by making grants to community-based tax-exempt organizations that work with children in the areas of education, health, and the arts. And also the community-based nonprofit agencies that receive their grants to directly help to serve people, directly help the local people they serve. And also, it is based in 37 states and 18 countries, from the United States all the way to Africa. And since its inception in 1998, the Milagros Foundation has raised $8 million and given away $8 million. So again, that concludes my segment on Carlos Santana. And just remember, Curtains is about how they impact the community off the stage and how they give back. And this is a great example of an artist who has done just that. This is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
Okay. As I said at the beginning of this particular broadcast, it has been packed with great information, and indeed, each and every one of the topics that we've discussed in our segments could have been a show of its own. And that being said, I'd like to bring in the youngest in the room, Justin. quickly tell us what you thought about today's broadcast. Okay, so I know I have Calvin still on the line. Calvin, tell us what you thought about today's broadcast.
Listen, guys, great show. Good morning to everyone. I think it's going, you guys are doing such an outstanding job. I love the segment on Carlos Santana, one of my favorites. And Mr. Bay, keep up the fables.
Okay. Tanisha, what did you think about today's broadcast?
Yeah, it was a really good show and very informative.
Okay. Okay, the music got ahead of it. Got ahead of me, Mr. Harris. What you think about today's broadcast? As we go over a few minutes.
Yo, it's always a good show. You know, I'm just surprised, pleasantly surprised that these younger people are coming up with some of these topics that I know a lot of adults have no idea what they're talking about. So the future looks good.
Okay. Thank you so much for your interpretation, comment, and input. It's so important to us. And Walter, close out the show. Take it away.
I would like to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the CFO in South Orange. Quest Youth Radio is the
best radio.
It really is.
Ladies and gents, turn up.